And now we return to the thrilling adventure serial, The Fourth Tower of Inverness. Jack Flanders has discovered a strange land within the Fourth Tower. After experiencing adventures too numerous to relate at this point, he found himself upon a mountaintop. All around was a vast desert with nasty little creatures that darted in and out of holes in the sand and watched him and waited for him.
Well, let's see. What choice do I have in this situation? I can either stay up here and die of starvation, or go down there and be torn to shreds by those little creatures. Not much of a choice, if you ask me.
And so all day he remains on that high place, not daring to descend. And at length the sun goes to rest and the moon rises and reflects in the bright eyes of those sand-haunting Rakshasas, which glitter in the distance on the dark desert like drops of water on the leaf of a black lotus. And all night he lies and watches them as a bird watches the eyes of a snake. Then in the early dawn, as the morning begins to glimmer in the distance on the rim of the world, he sees far away in the air two dark specks in the sky. And as he gazes, they grow larger and rapidly approach him, sending back to him, like mirrors, the red rays of the rising sun.
Why, they're birds of some kind. Swans, I think. Yes, they're silver swans, and they carry in their bills the body of a third, a swan of gold. Wow, I can't believe my eyes. And they're going to settle on this mountaintop. Hail, fair bird. Fair birds. From where have you come, and where do you go, and what is this dead golden body that you carry as you go? And do you have room for one more? And do you have room for one more? He says that they're carrying home the body of their king, and that they must bear him ever onward swiftly to his own country. I beg your pardon. Oh, and that the funeral ceremonies may duly be performed. For he died yesterday in the land of the Lotus Jukebox. The Lotus Jukebox! Listen, I've got to get there. Will you please take me there? You won't. Not a chance, huh? Well, look, I am a desperate man. I beg you to carry me to that land. Otherwise you're going to have to continue without the body of your king. For my sword is very sharp, you see. Nope. You have to give me your word. Or your honk, anyway. Swear.
It's a great scene, isn't it?
Swear an oath that you'll carry me to that land. No dropping me somewhere halfway or anything like that. Good. Let's go.
And so the swans bind themselves to him by an oath. And Jack takes hold of them by the neck, one in each hand. And they stretch out their necks and fly away with him over the desert. And he leaves far behind him the eyes of the Rakshasas glowing in the sand as if with rage to see him escape. After a long while, they come down to the edge of the desert. Jack looks down and sees, far below him, the blue sea, shimmering like the eyes of the goddess he had seen floating in that lotus pool. And at a distance in the water, like a dusky jewel on a purple carpet, he sees an island with a city on it.
Tell me, what is that island I see below me? You mean it's finally the land of the Lotus Jukebox?
In his delight...
Whoopee!
In his delight, Jack lets go and claps his hands and falls like a stone into the sea. Should we continue on with this?
You're all fired.
Hail, fair bird.
The swans give one final comment and return swiftly over the desert to the body which they had left upon the hill. But Jack rises out of the water like a cork and sees before him that long sought for land. And he shouts for joy.
Joy? Joy?
And begins. In his delight, Jack lets go and claps his hands.
Whoopee!
And falls like a stone into the sea. The swans give one final comment and return swiftly over the desert to the body which they had left upon the hill. But Jack rises out of the water like a cork and sees before him that long-sought-for land. And he shouts for joy and begins to swim in that direction. And his pith helmet comes spinning out of the sky like a frisbee and lands just ahead of him. And he swims all day. And at last, though with difficulty, he reaches the shore. His strength almost gone. And he creeps out of the sea as the sun goes down. And overcome with weariness, he lays down upon the sand and falls asleep. And all night long he sleeps, and all day. And when the moon rises again, full and round, as if to see whether he was still there, he awakes.
Well. Oh. I'm finally at my journey's end. Why I'm here, I don't know. Or how I'm going to get back, I don't know. But for whatever reason, since that first day I set foot in Inverness, it's been my fate to pursue this jukebox and find its source.
And so he goes up from the shore and through the streets of the city that lay before him, black and white in the rays of the silver moon. But he meets nobody. It is as empty and dark as a barren womb, and silent as a stone incarnation of the spirit of death. And as he wanders up and down, he comes at last to a great palace, whose doors stand wide open, as though to say, come in.
That's very strange.
He goes in and passes along, wandering with echoing steps from room to room. Then he enters a door and finds himself in a vast hall, whose walls are pierced with tall windows through which the moonlight falls, cold as camphor, on moonstones that hang in clusters from the roof. And from them the nectar falls slowly, drop by drop, upon the floor. And at the far end of the room, on a golden couch, he sees, lying, a dead body covered with a white pall.
Who can it be that lies here, alone in this empty hall?
And he moves on slowly, through the lights of the windows and the shadows of the walls, till he comes up to the end of the hall and stands beside the couch. And he stoops down over the body and lifts up the edge of the pall and uncovers the face.
Oh, no. It's the Madonna Vampira.
Jack, so astounded, leaps into the air and utters a cry.
Oh!
And he lets his sword fall with a crash upon the crystal floor.
I left her living in Inverness, and I have traveled for how long and how far I cannot conceive. And here, at the end of space, I find her again, lying dead in this empty hall.
And so he stands, like a picture on a wall, gazing in silence at that Madonna face while the night wears away and the moon travels on. And the tears flow from Jack's eyes, and the nectar from the moonstones falls slowly, drop by drop, upon the ground. And the shadows move round upon the floor, and at last, after a long while, he comes to. And he lets the pall fall from his hand, recovering the Madonna face, and finally stoops and picks up his fallen sword and goes slowly out of that strange hall. He sits down on the marble steps of the palace and falls into a waking dream.
Now I'm inside. totally inside your mind. You can do it too if you wish. Just feel the taut wires. Let your mind step out upon them. It's all right. I'll stay here in you while you step out and go visit me. Don't be afraid. Haven't you ever wondered what it would be like to ride around in someone else's body? You can be me, and I'll be you. Don't be so hesitant. I'll give you
that. That music, tormenting me still. And where else can it come from but that palace? And when I find it, I'll destroy it. I swear I'll destroy it once and for all.
And so once again he returns through the doors of that palace. But as he rushes through the empty rooms, he cannot locate the source.
It's just like Inverness. The music just hangs there in space. It's impossible to get any closer. Damn it! I'll chop it into little pieces. There won't be a tube left standing. It's gone again.
But as Jack turns, he finds himself at the end of a long hall. And there at the far end, sitting high upon a slab of green jade, is that Lotus jukebox.
So, at last. Well, what shall I do? Shall I tear it apart with my bare hands or kick it to pieces with my boot? Or shall I just cleave it in half with my sword?
But as he approaches, he notices something very strange.
That jukebox is just like the rest of this place. Still. Deserted. There are no lights. It's dead. It's funny. There's no plug and no outlet to plug into. I wonder, though. Let's see. No, there are no 50 songs here. Only chants and holy songs. Well, I think I still have one nickel left. You know, something tells me that this still is not the jukebox that I'm seeking. Oh, well. Here goes. Most of these holy songs I've never heard before. Oh, here's one. It sounds interesting. I'll try this. A1.
As the Lotus jukebox begins to play, its colors radiate and dazzle his eyes and stream about the room and light up its walls with glory, like that of a setting sun. And as the music echoes through the empty rooms of the palace and out across the still gardens and down the barren streets of the city, Jack suddenly sees life moving around him. People talking, shouting, laughing in the halls and the gardens of the street of the city. And as he watches in wonder, and the music weaves its beautiful magic within that city, he sees a face moving among the others. A face that he's seen before. A proud, strong, weathered, yet warm and gentle face of an adventurer. The face is that of Lord Jowls.
Lord Jowls! Lord Jowls, stop! Please, stop! It's your nephew, Jack!
And as he runs through the crowds of people shouting the name of his uncle, tears of happiness stream from Jack's eyes. And it seems to him that all that had happened had meant to happen. And all the pieces were about to fall into place. And finally, the old adventurer stops and turns to face this young man who calls his name. And as Jack runs up, about to throw his arms about his uncle, the music stops. The people fade away. And once again, he stands in the silent, empty streets.
So close. So close, and he vanishes just like a mirage. Oh, I don't understand any of this. The only thing I can hope for is somehow to find another nickel around somewhere.
And so Jack searches the streets, but no coins are to be found. And as he is about to lay down, exhausted and in despair, a thought suddenly flashes upon him. He takes off the pith helmet and the strip of felt along the inside band.
Before Lord Giles faded away, he seemed to point to this pith helmet, as if he were trying to tell me something. I wonder... Yes, by golly. There is something. Sure enough, it's a nickel. Just as though Lord Giles was attempting to tell me something.
Jack races back to the palace, through the rooms, avoiding the hall where the body of the Madonna Vampira lay, and finally up to the jukebox. Once again, he inserts the coin. And as the box again lights up, he pushes the buttons A1. And once again, the music flows from the old Wurlitzer, and the lights revolve around the hall, and the voices return, and the city flows with people, all exactly as it had been before. And exactly as it had been before, Jack sees the face of his uncle. And again he chases through the crowds, shouting. And again his uncle stops. And yes, again, as he is about to embrace those broad shoulders and weathered face, the music stops. And the streets are bare once more.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Yes, I think I understand it now. Instead of playing A1, I should really have chosen the next selection, A2. And then I would have reached him. Oh, wow, I really blew it this time.
But would Jack have reached him? Or is this still another level within a level that Jack has yet to experience?
Where can I possibly find another nickel except back in Inverness? And how am I going to get back over that sea and that desert or through that god-awful woods?
Again, he had wandered back to the palace and now stands outside by a pool. And on the surface of the pool, dragonflies dart about. And he looks between the lily pads and lotus blossoms that float there and sees his reflection.
I've had it. My head aches. My heart is heavy. For I've endured a lot these past days.
And so Jack goes down the steps and plunges into the waters of the pool. And as he rises from the water, he can hear the current of a fast-flowing river. He looks up and sees the open door and the steps that lead down from the tower to the river. And his flesh creeps, and his wet hair stands on end, as water streams from his body and doubt bewilders his soul.
How can this be? I'm back at the tower. This is the very spot where I first saw the old ferryman coming across the river. I'm right back where I started.
Of these last 7 days were gently and lovingly lifted from an old Hindu myth called The Descent of the Sun.